James chapter 3, and it's a very short passage this morning, verses 13 to 18. And just before we get into it, there's something else that I want to share with you, too, just so that there's no confusion. This church and the board has asked me to give 3 days a week to the church. And generally, that's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And so I'm prepared to be up here and visiting with you. I don't do a lot in the church. Mostly it's at home when I prepare my messages and then when I'm out visiting with you. And I'm getting around so maturely to visit with most of you and particularly ask you what you feel God is doing in the church and will be doing in the future as we go through the vision process. I'm also available to come up any other day. If there's an emergency situation, someone ends up in the hospital or there's a family crisis or anything like that, I'm prepared to come up here to meet rather than just coming in too. So I just wanted to let you know that again. And make sure that you avail yourself of the opportunity to meet with me. And if you haven't met with me yet, there's still lists out on the table outside in the foyer, so please sign up. We'd love to get together with all of you. Okay, let's turn to James chapter 3, and we're going to read this very short passage. James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. James 3, 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life. By deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. But wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap the harvest of righteousness. Give them the word of God. Let's pray. Lord, this seems like a bit of a new different passage. Maybe tagged on with this larger passage in the tunnel. So help the Lord today by your Holy Spirit to discern what is the application that you would have on our lives with these words. May your Holy Scripture truly teach us. And may at the end of it we be better for us as we grow up in the world to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder in your journey through life if you have ever come across some people that you would call geniuses. They seem to know everything. If they were on Jeopardy, they would win every game. But have you noticed that the many people who we might call geniuses, while exhibiting amazing intelligence, or what we might call wisdom, don't seem to know how to boil water or make toast. Although they would probably be able to give you a long dissertation on the properties of boiling water and how a toaster works. Most of the time, I'm glad I'm not Jesus. Our passage this week is all about the wisdom. But the wisdom that James is talking about is not the kind that we generally would learn in school. The wisdom that James is talking about is heavenly wisdom. So in order to show us what true wisdom or pure wisdom is, James compared heavenly wisdom with earth. James begins in this short passage in verse 13 by asking a question. Who is wise and understanding among you? Now that seems like a rather basic question. And according to James, the ramifications for demonstrating wisdom are really eternal. And James then helps us to know what a wise and understanding person looks like, saying that if you have wisdom, which is from God, then you will show it by your good life and by the deeds that you do in accordance with that word. So what does James really mean here? Well, the proof of wisdom and understanding will be shown by our deeds. Remember a couple of weeks ago when we spoke about the chain of our tongues? Well, when we learn to keep our words in check, that is evidence of God's wisdom. Only an unwise person doesn't know how to tame their tongue. So James here takes a step forward and he speaks to the issue of living in a manner that is truly pleasing to God. I think that's what James means here when he says living the good life. That doesn't mean having all the glory, boys. It's something far more than that. The good life is a life that seeks to please God in all of our activities. And James says that godly wisdom will be evident in our lives by our humility and our meekness. Now, we humans generally view meekness as a sign of weakness. However, that's really incorrect. Meekness really, in our eyes, is an attitude of mind and heart which will demonstrate gentleness to a person's strength of character. And that's something far different than what we do to believe. And James goes on to say in the next three verses, verses 14 to 16, showing how the opposite of godly wisdom and what earthly wisdom looks like. He tells us that when we harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, that those are signs of false or earthly wisdom. Now I think that in our lifetime we have all known people who are very bitter people. And they're not just filled with bitterness, but they have this deadly combination of bitterness and envy. In a book entitled Unfinished Business by Charles Fell, he tells the story repeated by Armand Nickel, who was a professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. And he explains that Sigmund Freud, who I'm sure you all know well, died at the age of 83. and he was a bitter and disillusioned man by the time he died. Freud, who was one of the most influential thinkers of our time, really had little compassion for the ordinary person. In 1918, and these are Freud's own words, he wrote, "I have found little that is good about human beings on the whole. In my experience, most of them are trash. No matter whether they publicly subscribe to this or to that ethical doctrine, or to none at all." With that kind of bitterness in his soul, Freud died friendless. Even his famous pupil, Carl Jung, and Alfred Adler were expelled from his life, because they chose to disagree with him on points. And then Freud died a bitter and lonely man. So being a great thinker and full of wisdom, which men will see, does not necessarily mean that you're going to have a wonderful life. The good life. And we know from human history that bitterness is a deadly poison that we have to get rid of if we desire to live a life that is pleasing to God and seek eternity. Now, I'm sure that we can all come up with all kinds of excuses as to why we're bitter. But in the end, none of those excuses really work for us. They might make us feel sorry for us for a while, but they won't change us. Very often people hold on to bitterness because they feel it gives them power over people. It becomes a control issue in their life. And it gives those people an excuse to be overbearing and rude. You'll remember this guy too, I'm sure. Comedian Bud Pack once confessed, "I have arguments with people, but I never carry a grudge." You know why? While you're carrying a grudge, they're all dancing. You see, whenever we carry a grudge, in the end, the only person that we hurt is ourselves. James goes on to these verses to tell us that selfish ambition is also a sign of earthly wisdom. Selfish ambition really literally means someone who shows an inordinate desire for power or for prestige. And people who are like this sure don't show much humility in their lives. The overriding philosophy of their life is what's in it for me? And again, I think we all have people like that. They are the people that you work with every day who don't care about how many people they step on to reach the top. And we all know how we feel about people like that. In verse 15, James tells us that this type of wisdom is not from heaven. It's earthly, unspiritual, and literally has its source from the devil. It is earthly because of the wisdom that the world preaches. It's the advice that makes the rounds on all the talk shows if you listen to them religiously. It's the kind that's found in the myriad self-help books. It does not necessarily agree with the wisdom of God and charges from wisdom. Unspiritual is the next step down. Unspiritual wisdom comes from those who just don't care if they do good or not. It's the kind of advice that I talked about a couple of weeks ago in that message on the phone, where I had this teacher who says, don't do as I do as I say. That's personal wisdom. And by the way, it tells us there is wisdom that people think that really has its source in Satan. We don't often think about this. But in our day and age, when we're concerned about our future, we phone the psychic hotline, or we visit someone who is moving around with tarot cards or Ouija board, and we knowingly accept their advice, and we know in our heart that this is not pleasing to God, because this is really wisdom from the heavens. James concludes his section on worldly wisdom by explaining that whenever you have envy or selfish ambition in your heart, you are going to also find disorder and civil strife in society. They are probably some of the root causes of war and civil unrest in the history of our world. The megalomaniacs who have tried to rule the world, Hitler and Stalin and Chairman Mao, imposing their wills on innocent people and simply massacring them when they resist. But you know what? This can happen in families too. Where it leads to marital breakdown, broken relationships. It can happen in churches too, where an individual or a group of people seek to be dominant, and a huge power struggle begins, leading to splits in the body of Christ, and how very bad that is. James then turns in verses 17 to 18 from earthly wisdom to talk about the characteristics of heavenly wisdom. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who so at peace raise the heart of righteousness. He says that the heavenly wisdom is first of all pure. What God has said to us in His Word is not watered down by anything. It's pure, it's uncontaminated. Now, unfortunately, since in our human experience, we know that that wisdom that comes from God is imparted down to human hands. And so the end result is not always perfect. We know that. But it starts out pure because it's from God. And then he says that it is peace-loving. Now that does not mean that the people who exhibit this kind of heavenly wisdom are just pushovers. Instead, it's someone who truly strives to be at peace, to be calm, a person who is untroubled and undisturbed. It's this person that has come to the point in their life where they have let go and let go. And you know, it's awfully nice to be around those kind of people. People who you know have this heavenly wisdom oozing out of their bodies because they're so at peace with themselves and with the world and with God. He then goes on to give several other words that describe heavenly wisdom. He says it's considerate. It's someone who won't abuse a position of power, who remains calm, seeks to be true to God's ideal. In their dealings with other people, they tend to put the needs of others first. Now, that's a hard thing to do because we're all selfish people. He says also that this wisdom is submissive. And again, this can sound like someone who's just a passive pushover. But it really means, I think, someone who is hidden in their beliefs, who recognizes the truth when they hear it, and they willingly receive their direction and instruction from God and His Word. I love the next one. Full of mercy and good fruits. And they go hand in hand. Mercy and good fruits are characteristics of people who perform acts of kindness and compassion in the name of God because of their love for God. And you have those people come alongside of you in those desperate times of your life. There are people who give you the wisdom of God through the mercy that they show to you, to the sharing of their lives, pouring into you. He then goes on to say that this wisdom from above is impartial. It's a person who is single-minded and doesn't show favoritism. He's already spoken about that in chapter 2, where we talked about showing partiality and favoritism within the church body, and how troubling that can be. And then the last characteristic of heavenly wisdom is that this person is a sincere person. And wisdom that comes from above flows out of a person, and you know it because of their sincerity. These people are not hypocrites. This person is a genuine article. And people have no trouble believing what they say because they practice what they preach. Wow. Now I look at that and I thought, oh my goodness. How can we ever live up to this scripture? There's even one of us that shows heavenly wisdom from God by those kind of characteristics in our life. And so I think we have to admit that following godly wisdom is not easy. And there are so many pressures that are put upon us today. And it just simply becomes easy to give in to what the world is telling us. And every day we are confronted with decisions that we must make as humans. Not so much about the parachutes that are going to come on in the morning. I'm not talking about that. But how am I going to honor God in what I do, in what I say, in what I believe? So, church, this week, as we seek to be authentic Christians, may we heed these powerful words of James and ask God for His wisdom, His guidance in all that we do and say. And may you all know that when you do that, there will be a blessing that falls. You can depend on that. Yes, sir. Our Father God, we learn so much from your word. The passage that seems on the face of it to be so insignificant, just sort of tagged on to the end of it. But it's full of all kinds of good things. Words of wisdom that can help us to be more Christ-like. To live our lives honoring Him. And in the doing of it, see how your Holy Spirit can change people. And we ask